मैं दावते इस्लामे बी ग्लोरियस नबी कॉर्नर ऑफ द वर्ल्ड मैं दावते इस्लामे बी ग्लोरियस नबी कॉर्नर ऑफ द वर्ल्ड फॉर द सेक ऑफ मदीना वी आर कॉलिंग अपॉन यू अल्लाह
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the intention of a believer is better than his action. I make intention that whatever I say insha'Allah azza wa jal will be solely for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. And you the viewers can make intention that you will sit and listen to this bayan from the beginning to end, that you will listen attentively. And whatever is applicable, you will act upon it. And also we make intention that we'll pass the message to others and encourage others also to watch Madni channel, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in Haditha Park that for the person who recites Durood the Park in abundance, there'll be light for that person on the pul sirat. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Continuing with our series, to veil or not to veil, that is the question. In this series, we look at the condition of the Muslim women or Islamic sisters. And in this particular episode, we look at the condition of women prior to Islam. Dear viewers of Madni channel, we know that Muslim women are portrayed as oppressed, downtrodden, victimized, with no freedom, and the women of other culture are portrayed as enlightened and free and enjoying their lives. And if we look in this series, we'll learn about the condition of women in many cultures prior to Islam, what was their condition and how it was Islam that made an impact on others that they started relaxing some of the condition of Muslims, especially those cultures who came in touch with Islam. The condition of women in Islam before was the mentality of despising women, externalizing them from society and regarding them as second-class citizens. And this was a wicked pagan attitude which has no place in Islam. During the days of ignorance, before the advent of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, women were treated like cattle, devoid of humanity, deprived of rights. In those days of darkness, people did not recognize nor give any rights to women. They were tolerated in the house no better than pet animals and like goats and sheep. But the condition totally changed after the advent of Islam under the sacred teaching of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prior to Islam, a woman's status in the sight of most nations of the world was nothing more than the value of household goods. Besides being treated like animals, they were also bought and sold. They had no choice in the matter of marriage. They had to silently accept the highest bidder. They never inherited anything, even from their own parents. In fact, the woman would become an item of distribution like any commodity of inheritance in the deceased estate. That means she became part of the goods that the deceased person owned, and she could be distributed. Women were regarded merely as properties and possessions of men. In some culture, they were not even regarded as human. Even in religious matters, women were given no status by the men of that religion, for they were not even considered worthy of prayer or fit to be counted as human. Some renowned ancient scholars regarded women as follows. One mentioned that she is the gate through which the devil enters, and she is the beginner of man to the forbidden tree. He went on further to say that she is the breaker of law of God and the plunderer of man who is in the image of God, mazallah. So as you can see, in those times, in that era, in some countries, it was not even, we're talking about in the 13th century, that women were legally able to sell property. They could not sell the property without the permission of the husband, even if the property belonged to them. In many nations, sons will inherit the name, the wealth, and the position, and the possession of the family. Daughters were hoped to marry rich. In many Western or Eastern countries, women could not choose their husbands, and widows were expected to mourn the husband until the end of their lives, and this is also practiced in some countries. Part of the information that I'm going to give you now describes the status of women as late as the 19th century, that is 12 centuries after Islam. Women in the ancient civilization. Describing the status of women in one particular culture, Encyclopedia Britannica states, subjection was a cardinal rule. Day and night, women were held by the protectors in the state of total dependence. The rule of inheritance was traced only through males, and females were excluded. In one scripture, the description of a good wife is given as follows: a woman whose mind, speech, and body are kept in subjection, acquire high renown in this world and in the next, and the same abode with her husband. In one culture, in which the widow was burned to death on her husband's pyre, funeral pyre, although the act was supposed to be voluntary on the widow's part, it is believed that sometimes she was forced to do so. Men and women were always considered as minors, subject to some male, to the father, to the brother, or some relative who is a male. Her consent in marriage was not generally thought to be necessary, and she was obliged to submit to the wishes of her parents and receive from them husband and her lord, even if he was a total stranger and even if she disliked him. A Roman wife was described by a historian as a babe, a minor, a ward, a person incapable of doing anything according to her own individual state, a person continually under guardianship of a husband. In Encyclopedia Britannica, we find a summary of a legal status of women in the Roman civilization. In Roman law, a woman in historic time is completely dependent. If married, she and her property passes into the power of her husband. A wife was the purchased property of her husband, and like a slave, acquired only for his benefit. A woman could not exercise any civil or public office, could not be a witness, surety, tutor, or creator. She could not adopt or be adopted, and could not make a will or contract. Among the Scandinavian races, women were under total control, whether married or unmarried. As late as the end of 17th century, it was enacted that if a woman married without the consent of a tutor, he might have, if he wished, administration of her goods during her life. That means he could take control. According to one country's common law, all real property which a wife held at the time of marriage became a possession of her husband. He was entitled to rent from the land and to profit which might be made from operating the estate during the joint life of the spouses. As time passed, the court devised means to forbid the husband transferring real property without the consent of his wife, but he still retained the right to manage it and to receive the money which it produced. As to the wife's personal property, the husband's power was complete. He had the right to spend as he saw fit. Only in the late 19th century did the situation start to prove. By a series of acts, with the Married Woman Property Act of 1870, amended in 1882 and 1887, married women achieved the right to own property, enter contracts on par with spinsters, widows, and divorcees. As late as the 19th century, an authority in ancient law wrote, "No society which preserves any tincture of religious institution is likely to restore to married women the personal liberty conferred to them by the Middle Roman law." In his essay, the topic was subjection of women. He said, and I quote him, "We are continually told that civilization and our religion have restored to the woman her just rights. Meanwhile, the wife is actually bond servant of her husband, no less so as far as legal obligation goes than slaves are commonly called. In other words, a wife is a slave of her husband." Before moving on to Quranic decrees concerning the status of women, a few decrees from a religious book may shed more light on the subject, thus providing a better basis of impartial evaluation. A religious encyclopedia states, "To betroth a wife to oneself means simply to acquire possession of her by payment of a purchase money. To betroth is a girl for whom the purchase money was paid. That means like a good she is bought. From this legal point of view, the consent of the girl is not necessary for the validation of the marriage. That means as long as the money is paid, whether she agrees or don't agree, she becomes the property of the person who paid the money. The girl's consent is unnecessary and the need for it is nowhere suggested in the law. As for the rights of divorce, we read in this religious encyclopedia and it states, a woman being man's property, his right to divorce her follows as a matter of course. The right to divorce is held only by man. And now we look at the condition of women in the Arab world. That means prior to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam spreading the message of Islam. Political condition in Arabia. The most remarkable feature of the political life in Arabia before Islam, and this is something that many people did not, maybe not, are not aware of, was a total absence of political organization of any form. That means there was no government. The Arabs never acknowledged any authority other than the authority of the chiefs of their tribes. The authority of the tribal chiefs, however, rested in most cases on their character and personality and was moral rather than political. The modern student of history finds it incredible that the Arabs lived generation after generation, centuries after centuries, without a government of any kind. Since there was no government, there was no law and order. The only law of the land was lawlessness. In the event a crime was committed, the injured party took law in its own hand and tried to administer justice to the offender. This system always led to acts of cruelty and horrible cruelty. If the Arab ever exercised any restraint, it was not because of accessibility, he had to question right or wrong, but because of fear of reprisal and vendetta. Vendetta consumed the whole generation of Arabs. Since there was no such thing as police, court, and judges, the only protection man could find from his enemy was from his own tribe. And the tribe had an obligation to protect its members, even if they were guilty, even if they committed any crime. The tribe was obliged to protect its members. A tribe that failed to protect its members from the enemies exposes itself to ridicule and contempt. And ethics, of course, did not enter the picture anyway. Since Arabia did not have a government, and since Arabs were locked up because of this war upon war, ceaseless warfare, war was a permanent institution of the Arab society. Now we're coming to the main topic. In this kind of environment, women also existed. What was their conditioning? We'll come to that just now. Women had no status of any kind other than a sex object. The number of women a man could marry was not fixed. When a man died, his son inherited all his wife, except his own mother. A savage custom of Arabs was they used to bury the female infants alive, female babies alive. Even if an Arab did not wish to bury his daughter alive, he still had to uphold this honorable tradition, being unable to resist social pressures. One companion came to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam how once he took his innocent child to the jungle, to the bushes, and he dug a hole, and he said he took the child, she held his hand lovingly, and he took her, and after digging the hole, he threw the child into the hole, and she looked at him longingly, asking, "What you are doing?" And he said he covered her up while she was crying for help. And our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had tears, blessed tears in his blessed eyes when he heard this. This was the condition at the time prior to Islam in Arabia. As you can see, that women had no respect, and in fact they were considered a burden. That is why fathers used to bury the daughters alive, because it was for them at that stage regarded as an honorable thing to do. Another vice among the Arab was drunkenness. They used to carry on drinking and gambling, and because of drinking and gambling, they used to also get involved in lots of fights, and they were compulsive drinkers and compulsive gamblers. Many women sold sex to make living, since this was nothing else they could do. These women used to put flags on the houses and were called ladies of the flags. And in that era, in the tribal culture of Arabs, women were not equal to men with respect of many social and personal conditions and systems, such as marriage, inheritance, or education, amongst other things. Women did not have businesses, did not own properties, and did not have any legal rights. And the condition of women before Islam, we see that they were treated like slaves, treated like properties. Their personal consent regarding anything, even their own well-being, was unimportant and unnecessary. And they were just treated as an object. And after being used, they were discarded. They had no independence, and at times of war, women were also treated as part of the loot. And the plight was unspeakable. And at the death of the father, as you mentioned before, the son used to take over everything, his whole, the share of the father's property. And the widow was kicked out of the house and forced to live in a small hut. And this hut was unventilated, that means had no air coming in, it was totally dark. And in one custom, she had to live in that hut for 1 year. She was not permitted to leave the hut, nor was she allowed to take a bath or change her clothes. After 1 year, she was allowed to come out of the hut. When she came out of the hut, if she survived, people threw camel dung on her lap and asked her to rub her body against the body of an animal. Then she was forced to go around the village in the same dirty attire, throwing the camel dung on her right and her left. This was an indication that she completed her iddat. She was forced in some cultures virtually to worship her husband. After the death of the husband, she had no right to live. And if she had no children, Then she was forced to kill herself as well and to get burned to death. As you can see, this was the condition of women of the past. And now, inshallah, in the future episodes, we'll talk about the great blessing of Islam, the great blessing that women, not only is Muslim women, throughout the world, owe to our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam by giving status and honor to the women of Islam. Alhamdulillah, those, even the critics of Islam, when they study Islam and are fair, they will also, and they do also acknowledge that it was due to the beloved Prophet of Islam, or beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Muslim women got status. And inshallah, this in the next episode, we'll discuss the great contribution and the, how the condition of Muslims changed with the advent of Islam. We make dua, Allah will give us tawfiq to learn more about our deen. In order to learn about our deen, my appeal is, get attached to the movement of Dawat Islami. Watch Madni channel. There are many, many beautiful programs in Madni channel. Alhamdulillah, as you can see, there's also more and more focus on English program. And this program is titled To Veil or Not to Veil. That is the question. And many issues regarding women, Islamic women, will be put here. The idea is for you to understand what is your role in society. Do you want to become a tool of Shaitan and allow him to destroy your high status? Or you want to follow the model that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to give and follow him, follow his advice and become close to Allah azza wa jal. So we make dua that Allah azza wa jal give us tawfiq to understand this. Ameen. Bi jahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.